Today is Monday, April 10th. In Alachua, we are serving Srila Prabhupada's BBT Bhagavatam, published 11th Canto, Chapter 11, Text 40. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayesya Bhadresya Uttam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhagavati Naishtaki. I'm going to read the synonyms first and then we'll respond. Vishayeshu into contact with material object. Abhishan, entering. Yogi, one who has attained self-control. Nana dharmeshu, which have different varieties of qualities. Sarvataha, everywhere. Guna, good qualities. Dosa, and false. Vyapeto atma, a person who has transcendent. Na visajeta, should not become entangled. Bayubat, like the wind. So here, the Avadhut, a great soul who is speaking, is revealing his perception of this world. Instead of seeing all the elements of this world as an object of senses or something to enjoy, he rather seeing each element in this world as a guru. And if we can adopt that, then we can get highest benefit from this chapter. And that's how we can be liberated instantly. So here we are focusing about the wind and he is speaking, so we'll discuss that. So please repeat. Vishayeshu Avishan Yogi. Nana dharmesu sarvataha. Puna dosa vyapatatma. Na visajjeta vayuva. Vishayeshu Avishan Yogi. Nana dharmesu sarvataha. Guna dosa vyapatatma. Na visajjeta vayuva. Vishayesu avisan yogi. Nana dharmesu sarvataha. Guna dosa vipetatma. Na visajjeta vayuva. Please chant. Visayesu avisan yogi. Nana dharmesu sarvataha. Vishayeshu atma. Vishayesu Vishanyogi Anadharneshu Sarvata Kunadosa Nehe Atma Nihayetu Vaiva Vishayesu Vishanyogi Nana Dharmeshu Sarvatah Guna Dosa Vipetatma Navisa Jeta Vaiva. Vaishnavis, Vishayesha Avishan Yogi Nana Dharmeshu Sarvatah Guna dosa vipetatma Navisa Vesu Vayuva Visa Vesu Avisan Yogi Nana Dharmeshu Sarvatah Guna dosa vipetatma Nabisa Jeta Vayuban Vishayesu Avisan Yogi Nana Dharmeshu Sarvatah Gunado Sodhipetatma Nabisa Jeta Vayuban. Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. Even a transcendentalist is surrounded by innumerable material objects which possess good and bad qualities. However, one who has transcended material good and evil should not become entangled even when in contact with the material objects. Rather, he should act like the wind. Now, before I read the purport, you can focus. There is a two concept of wind. One is eternally going to be with us, even amongst the eternal associate, even with Krishna and Vishnu. That is called prana. And the wind, the material element, is difference. But both are sometimes translated as air or wind, something like that, or prana, life air. The purport is wonderful. The wind is the external manifestation of air, whereas prana is the internal manifestation. When the wind passes over waterfalls, it carries sprinkles of clear water and thus becomes most refreshing. Sometimes the wind blows through a beautiful forest, carrying the fragrance of fruits and flowers. At other times, the wind may fuel a fire that burns the same forest to ashes. The wind, however, being fixed in its own nature, remains neutral in both its auspicious and inauspicious activities. Similarly, within this material world, we will inevitably face both pleasing and disgusting situations. If, however, we remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, we will not be disturbed by the inauspicious. Nor will we become attached to the material auspicious. In the course of his spiritual duties, a devotee sometimes finds himself chanting Hare Krishna in a beautiful country atmosphere, and sometimes he finds himself doing the same thing in a hellish city. In both cases, the devotee fixes his mind upon Lord Krishna and experiences transcendental bliss. Although the wind passes through the most dark and forbidden places, the wind is not frightened or disturbed. Similarly, a devotee of Lord Krishna should never be fearful or anxious. Even when in the midst difficult situation, one who is attached to materially pleasing forms, tastes, smells, sounds and touches will also be repelled by the opposite in each category. Thus, finding himself surrounded by innumerable good and bad things, the materialist is constantly disturbed. When the wind blows in many directions at once, the atmosphere becomes agitated. Similarly, if the mind is constantly attracted and repelled by material objects, there will be such mental disturbance that it will be impossible to think of the absolute truth. Therefore, one should learn from the blowing wind the art of moving throughout the material world without attachment. So you all are already convinced how we should have our lifestyle and behavior in this spiritual path. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, he went on a parikrama in Mayapur, and most of the people used to live were Muslim at those days, residents. And they didn't have a proper toilet, so they used to pass stool on two sides of the road. So then all the disciples started complaining, "Oh, Prabhupada, it's foul smell." Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur turned back. He said, "You have come to see the holy dham or you are absorbing foul smell?" He said, "Why don't you correct yourself?" Then we see Srila Prabhupada also in same in Mayapur. He also went for a morning walk, and there was a toilet, really bad foul smell coming. Prabhupada turned back to Bhavananda Maharaj and others. "What is this horrible smell?" And Bhavananda Maharaj said, "Well, this is not our toilet, it's for those poor Bengalis that, or the pilgrim Bengalis that comes." Prabhupada said, "But you are tolerating. It must be in you. That's why you accept the tolerance. So, what we hear from this Bhagavatam, that we should be indifferent, but that doesn't mean we purify the atmosphere where we are." And Prabhupada very nicely explained that if we tolerate something not Krishna conscious, that means that non-Krishna consciousness also in me. So correction has to be there. That doesn't mean we do not clean the outside and atmosphere. Inside correction has to be there. Also outside cleanliness is required. That's why cleanliness is the godliness or next to godliness. Prabhupada said both, not just one. Generally, sometimes one devotee says, Prabhupada said, cleanliness is the godliness. Prabhupada also said, cleanliness is next to godliness. There's a letter also, right? Because that's how I saw in Calcutta, you know, in the bathroom, everywhere is this little sign. And when I came here, they said, no, it's the godliness. So, but that's also there, both are there. But nonetheless, cleanliness is the most important. Here in this purport I found very interesting. In the first sentence it says, the wind is the external manifestation of air, whereas prana is the internal manifestation. When we come to Krishna consciousness, I carry lot of separate, individual, independent desire away from Krishna consciousness. Even though I came, but I have my personal interest. I have my personal desire. I have my personal fulfillment, which I never told anybody. Because then it will be horrible. I'm a bad guy. But life after life, we have this karma and jnana. Both are actually nothing but separate interest from Krishna's interest. Krishna's interest is that we should be in love, engage in devotional service, absorb our mind and engage our intelligence, and this way we can live with him. But when we join, we carry our so many unnecessary things that our mind always guide us to focus on something that we to draw pleasure that we don't have a control. In a one sense you can say they are called anarthas. Anarthas is nothing but that mind dictating us all the time to focus on those things or subject matter to draw pleasure that we don't have any control. But bhakti we have, because it is for the pleasure of Krishna and Krishna respond, and we have a very loving inner nourishment. Krishna is happy, we are happy. But as for karma gyan, we don't have control. But mind always dictates us to focus on those, and that is the biggest disturbance. So here, prana is the internal manifestation. So when we join, then we carry those things. And Tamal Goswami Maharaj in one lecture was very nicely explained, I was remembering it now, that he said, first installment of our devotional process, that avidya, ignorance, being destroyed by knowledge. So we are hearing, we are chanting, we are dancing, we are going to festivals, Ratha Jatra, every day we have a sadhana. Sadhana is the backbone of our spiritual life, under guidance of Prabhupada. Then when we are doing the sadhana properly, then we are progressing. In that progress, so many things, doubts will come, so many problems will come. But check within your heart right now. If you felt some attraction and taste, that is the beginning of contact with pure goodness. We have to come to perform pure devotional service when we are in contact with pure goodness. Pure goodness means the taste of serving, taste of chanting has to be there. That's internally. Externally, I will not talk about myself. I'm not interested to hear. It's like a poison. It doesn't satisfy me. I want to hear about the good quality of other Vaishnavas, Prabhupada, Krishna. So there is the internal and external. At that time, Tamal Goswami Maharaj was very nice. He said, that is the contact of Suddha Satya by the mercy of Guru. But what is the mercy of Guru? That point. Because from that point, we will have a free choice. I have a taste of Krishna consciousness. I have a taste of sex and separate independent existence, making money separately from God. And I have a full choice. But if I do not have a taste, then how my mind will not disturb? My mind cannot be disturbed if my intelligence is focused on the taste of Krishna consciousness. So that platform, the contact with Suddha Satya, is where this prana, the internal manifestation of life air, take place. It saturates the hearts with jubilation, happy. You can ask yourself right now within your heart, you do feel some attraction. I always ask this question, if I give you a plate of food, 99% vegetarian, 1% beef or something, would you take? Or you have to think? Anybody would take? Can you raise your hand? 99% pure, it's only just 1% beef or something. No. Then appreciate, start appreciating that because of mercy of Prabhupada, we have a taste. We do have a taste of Krishna consciousness. Those tastes has to be counted. They will save us to progress. They have to become the impetus to go further, further, further. Every day we do things that we do in our spiritual practice, that those are our because of their mercy and our endeavor, both contacted, connected, our endeavor and their mercy, that's why Shuddha Satya rises. Shuddha Satya, pure goodness, is not something coming from the sky. It is coming from our sadhana and their mercy, Prabhupada's mercy and our sadhana. When they contact, those taste arises. When heart becomes saturated with this pure goodness more and more, then at one point heart will submit to the prana or life air. In second chapter Bhagavad Gita, 17th verse, in the purport Prabhupada writes, Esho anuratma cetasa vedityo jasmin prani panchadasam divesh prane cittam prajanam sarvamato prajanam. In that purport Prabhupada writes, when this five air becomes purified, then the soul will be liberated. And you can perceive the soul right now through intelligence, Prabhupada writes in that same purport. And this, out of these 10 airs that in our body, one air is not material element, it is actually coming from the moment we enter in this material world. That life air carries the soul, life after life. When that mukha pran, when heart is in pure goodness, saturated, then it submit to this mukha pran or life air that carries me, the soul. Each of us here, we are not this body. Everybody knows that. We are not the subtle body either. We are not mind. We are not this physical body. So who we are? We are spirit soul, the servant of Krishna. We are being carried by this, in the beginning of the purport I said there is a two. One is prana. The prana carries that soul, you. When the heart is saturated, then hearts submit to the life air. Then the life air travels in this body. This is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very nicely explains. When it travels in the body, then in contact with the earth element, all the elements, earth, air, water, fire, ether, is there in this body. When it contacts with earth element, immediately you feel stunned. Like Bakasura, you can think all this past time. Bakasura, when this crane, demon came, and Krishna with millions of coward boys came, and Krishna's had a plan. His mother has a ruse. And as long as she can see with her eyes, Krishna can go up to bed. If she cannot see, until Krishna 6 years old. After 6 years old, there was a big festival took place, how Krishna actually tricked Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, so he could go and meet the girls and all fun, other side. But after 6 he was doing, so they went far, and then at one point when the crane demon came, and then he swallowed Krishna, if you remember in Krishna book, then Krishna was on the throat of the crane demon. Why no coward boys could save Krishna? What about Balaram? He was right there. Today is Balaram Ras Purnima also. Because their hearts submitted to the life air, while life air traveled within their body all the time. And life air came in contact with earth. When it comes in contact with earth, even Balaram could not move. Seeing that Krishna is being swallowed by the demon, nobody could protect. Like Putana took Krishna. Mother Yashoda saw it. She was stunned. Rohini Maya stunned, could not move. This is what prana does. This prana is eternally going to be with us. But only thing we have to do, the heart has to be purified in contact with Shuddha Satya, pure goodness. Then our journey is other side. Even within this third canto, second chapter, verse 6, Prabhupada said, within this body, in the material world, you can serve in the spiritual world. In that route. When this prana travels, comes in contact with air, then what happens? When it comes in contact with fire elements in the body, then what happens? Do you know? You have a goosebump, you have a sweat, when you dance, chants, This is what happened. This life air travels in your body and it comes in contact with air. You may come in contact with air, you will shed tears with the tear elements or water elements. And when you come in contact with fire, you faint. When it come in contact with ether, you literally become like almost dying. Color is changing your body. All these symptoms. This is what spiritual world happiness is experienced. There I have 100% full time. We can also start experiencing here. 1973 in Srila Prabhupada in LA, he was speaking. And in the class, he could not even speak after a few minutes. Babru Prabhu, who took sannyas now, he was telling me that it's different than when you hear it. But I was there, it's different. We literally started crying as Prabhupada was crying. So how did it happen? It's the same thing. Prabhupada's heart was complete pure goodness, submitted to the life air, prana, and it traveled in contact with the water elements in the body and he started shedding tears. When it came in contact with this fire element, he could not speak. It's a halfway inside, outside. Even Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada right, halfway inside, when Prahlad Maharaj was praying to Nishinadev, he's speaking half sentence out. Do you know Mahaprabhu could not even chant Jagannath? He said, jag, jag, ga, ga, fainted. Why? Because emotional feeling was so heavy that he cannot even say it. Even Krishna cannot write sometime love letter to Radharani. In Nectar of Instruction, text 8, Prabhupada Raj, there is a servant, Raktaka and Patraka. They carry letter. So Krishna writes, could not finish Radha, he faint. Why? Because Radharani appeared there and her beauty Krishna could not hold, faint. Same thing with Srimati Radharani. This is what spiritual ecstasy is. Then the life air, the external air is a different element in the material world. In the spiritual world, external airs serves Krishna. Every moment, you know Krishna's body has how many fragrance? Prabhupada writes, four types. Four types of fragrance. That four types of fragrance has a many division. When Radharani smells is one way. When Mother Yashoda smells another way. Anybody Krishna touches, like Putana. Putana also was producing her body when they were burning, so many fragrance, Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Nanda Maharaj is thinking, such a fragrance of the dead body. It's like is it a dead body or is it good things? It's a good thing because Krishna purified. So moment we come to Krishna consciousness, this is what going to happen to us. I mean, you all are experiencing. They say that when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj went to Nagar Kirtan in Bombay, the devotees were smelling such a fragrance from his body. It was like they still wonder about it. One devotee was telling me, I said, yes, possible. They are such advanced devotees. In this regard, how this manifests in Balaram Rasa Leela or Bansivadan Thakur's, today is their appearance day, and Krishna's Basanta Leela and Samananda Prabhu. These two elements we can see is prominent in their life. Any idea which one you would like to hear? Krishna Basanta Leela or Balaram Ras Leela or Samananda Prabhu's or Bansivadan Thakur's? Anybody? Huh? All of them I cannot because I have only half an hour. 15 minutes. Balaram. Okay. So I'm just going to summarize because of the time. Balaram, if you want to understand Krishna Leela, two personality you take shelter. Because we are Rupanuga, Prabhupada says. The whole Prabhupada said this ISKCON, Krishna Consciousness Movement, is directly under the supervision of Rupa Goswami. That's how Prabhupada writes. First sentence, he writes. So, He is a first class Rupanuga and he is making us to become Rupanuga. And then the original first Rupanuga was Raghunath Das Goswami. That's why Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojan Acharya. He dictates what is our ultimate goal. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, if you want to understand Brajalila, take shelter of either Balaram or Rohini Maya. Because they are inside and outside. And they can actually, from their view, we can understand very completely. Otherwise, it will be difficult to accommodate. So Balaram is very unique personality. He told Krishna, until today you never disobeyed me. Everything I asked you as an elder brother, you always follow. Except one thing, very disturbing me. That I asked you to go to Vrindavan and you are not going. You are giving an excuse always. Oh, I need to kill that demon, I need to do this, you need to do this. This is the only time he avoided. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, because he disobeys elder brother, Krishna Balaram said, one day you're going to come and cry. So Lord Chaitanya cry. For the Vrajavasi. Lord Chaitanya cry for the Vrajavasi. That Krishna. So then Balaram, he of course, at that time he was almost around 80 years old. You know, Balaram never got married. Krishna and Balaram, they are married in Vrindavan, but we do not take Krishna and Balaram as a married person. Krishna married in Vrindavan. He married all those girls on Brahma Vimohan Lila. And Balaram did not, but he married in Dwarka, but he never had a children. So Balaram was kind of a supreme lord. At the same time, he's kind of a person everybody goes to when they have some question or trouble or something in Dwarka. So, but Balaram's love for Brajabashi is beyond anybody can imagine. Balaram loves Brajabashi. Balaram took a ride on a chariot, even though he is almost grandfather age, because Krishna was a grandfather, you know. Then when he arrived in Vrindavan, that time it is not the object what dictates the object is. It is the person or devotee who calculate and see what the object is. So when Mother Yashoda sees Balaram, she does not see him 80 years old, grandfather age. She sees him as a 5 to 10 years old boy. And Balaram automatically respond with that age and beautiful form. It was very funny because Balaram, when he came, everybody welcomed him and he respected everybody to olders by touching their feet and younger with shaking hand and equal age by embracing. So Balaram was very nicely welcomed by the Brajavasi. At one point, Balaram came and sat on the lap of Mother Yashoda and she was rubbing, giving his hair with the finger, you know, rubbing. He said, hey, is it true like they think you are God? Then she started telling to Nanda Maharaj, it's funny that our children in Dwarka, they call him God. What do you think? And Balaram is looking, wow, what does she know? So it's a very difference, because it's like your daughter is Miss Universe. It's different than Miss Universe look like your daughter. So you can see something. Your daughter is Miss Universe, is secondary. Your daughter is primary. So she always thinks Balaram is my son. Even though he's the son of Balaram, but Rohini Maya, but Balaram used to call Mother Yashoda Maya. Mother one, mother two. So mother one is Rohini Maya and mother Yashoda is two. But is the mother. So like this, when Balaram was reciprocating with them, of course you may think like why Krishna did not come. There is so many reasons given. I'm just going to say one or two points that Dwarkabasi always got a fear that wherever love manifests or reveals the most, Krishna is there. You want to capture Krishna? Develop love for him. So they know that Vrindavan Brajavasi, they have so much love that if Krishna ever goes there, he will never come back. So they are making all this plot, how him not to go. There is always some kind of a trap they create so that he cannot go, he cannot go, he cannot go. Finally, Krishna told Balaram, you go. So Balaram came and Balaram reciprocated with all the Brajavasis. After reciprocating with the Brajavasis, the Balaram was soaked by this Brajavasis' affection and love. They all had a plan to talk to Krishna and ask him, what did you guys do for 8 years? Did you remember us? Did you remember your parents? What happened? All these things. But when they saw Balaram, they forgot everything. Why? Because their love for him, so much pouring out with their tears, they just staring at Balaram and nothing, no question, nothing. Oh, everything forgotten. Was so much in love. This way, time passed. Little later, Balaram noticed that all those ladies, they were married. What Balaram could not see before, he is going to experience today. And Krishna's purpose was that Balaram to see also Brajavasi's love for him. That's why we accept Guru. Balaram is the Adi Guru who engages everybody to serve Krishna. By the mercy of Guru, we get Krishna very quick, and that is Balaram. So the Balaram, in the evening he came and he saw these millions of girls headed by Srimati Radharani, Lalita, Visakha, Tungavidya, Chitraleka, Chitra, Champaklata, Sudevi, Rangadevi, these are the 8 main. All in a different group, very deep separation. When Balaram came, now in a Vedic etiquette, you all know Vedic etiquette, I'm sure more than I do, that in Vedic culture, the husband's elder brother is respectable. You never talk to your husband something you don't want to talk privately only, not in front of elder brother. You always show you as a girl, as a wife, chaste and loyal. But today Balaram was surprised. These girls, they're all married to Krishna in a sense that they are loved for, but they were married to some other coward boys. And in Vedic culture, they never take off their veil in front of elderly person. Always Brajavasis have a veil. But these girls are like mad, madly in love with Krishna. They have veil or no veil, they don't care nothing. They're just talking and laughing in front of Balaram as like a street girl or something. Balaram understood. They are deep emotional love for my brother is beyond I can calculate. So Balaram came nearby. He also smiled at them. Then he started listening their conversation. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur puts. That one girl just came to Balaram. Is Krishna happy in Dwarka? Then the Balaram said, Balaram understood that as a Vedic culture, this girl would never ask elder brother of one you love, is a paramount. But because they had come to a state of transcendental highest summit of madness, how much they love Krishna. So Balaram tactfully, he answering in a very unique way. He says, since you all are so much in love with him, how can he be happy in Dwarka? He didn't answer directly whether he is happy or not. He said, how can he be happy? Then another girl came. He said, we are just village girl. We never went to school. We never learned the art or anything. We just did the cow party and take care of our family business. So we don't know actually what is this love song, love, romantic life, like the city girls maybe. That's why we are asking. Then another girl says, perhaps Krishna forgot us. Because question is, maybe he may not remember us, but is it possible that he can forget his parents? Somebody may go to a foreign country and become very rich or a kingly position. Does it possible that he will ever forget his parents? They are asking Balaram, but they are actually asking themselves also. So Balaram is just listening to their conversation. Then another girl came. He said, I think those city girls are very talented in Dwarka and Mathura. They know the art how to love. We are just innocent girls. And you'll see Prabhupada says many times, these Braja Gopis are very innocent girls, they think. But they are actually in Tattvagata Vichar. Tattvagata Vichar means consideration of the eternal truth. They are actually Krishna's own energy. But then you say, how is possible the husband and wife in the middle of the night going to run in the forest to meet? Oh, they are already married. So that is called Sakya. But this is Parama, or means they have a conception, they have an ego. All these gopis, that we belong to somebody, but we are completely dedicated for Krishna's pleasure. So these two things to be understood in order to realize this. Then the other gopis says that we have worked so hard. We used to make a beautiful garland, beautiful flower bed, beautiful fanning. We made all these beautiful garden, everything for his pleasure. Does he ever remember us? Does he even think of us? Then Balaram says, oh girls, listen. You are most beloved of my brother Krishna. He has full of love for you, always remembers you only. Then the gopi says, we don't have faith in Krishna's love. We deny that statement because he rejected us. We gave our life for him. We rejected our family, we rejected our shyness, we rejected our character, our in-laws. What did he do? He rejected us and went away. Then Balaram asked, why did you let him go? Why did you not go with him? Then the gopis answered, we were ready to, but he says, just for a little, few days, I'll be gone. And the word he used, ayashe, means I'll be back. So we're holding on to that word, his word. Is Krishna ever lies? Anybody knows? Krishna never lies. He's absolute truth. His lie is also truth, because he's absolute truth. Then the gopi says, Then Balaram says, since you are so much in desperate need of help, how is that you are maintaining your life without him? You must have also broken your ties with him too. How did you maintain your love alone without him? Then the gopi says, we are alive because he gave us a word that he will be back. That is the only thing we are holding. Then Balaram says, if you believe Krishna will return, then why you are so disturbed? The gopi says, we are disturbed because his promise taking so long to manifest. We are doubting whether it was really truth or not, what he says. Then Balaram says, but you are still holding it. So because he sent so many messengers one after another. We only know Uddhava and Balaram. That's not true. Krishna sent almost every day a messenger. He would cry every day. Because he's sending so many messengers, so we are maintaining our life air, and the same in the chapter. Life air sustaining in the body. As soon the life here is ready to get out of the body, we see a messenger just come and say, Krishna is coming, just few more demons he need to kill. So immediately life here goes inside the body and sustain. Then Balaram, seeing their madness, they are talking amongst themselves. Then one gopi, no more talking with Balaram, they are just talking itself. Do you know, girls, he stole my heart. The other girl said, he stole my heart. He stole everything we possess. Then they looked at, like, you know, you're talking to someone, but you actually meant that person to hear. So they're talking like this, as if Balaram need to hear this. We are surprised how these sophisticated, intelligent city girls believe his word. When they get hurt, they will cry. They will know. Then another girl says, but there is a problem. It is not that Krishna is giving false promise to them. Problem is that when they will find out, then they come to Krishna, Krishna smile. When Krishna smile, everybody forgets everything. It's so contagious, so beautiful. We don't care. They just submit themselves, forget everything, all the past. Krishna's beauty, unparalleled. Then the other gopi started crying. It is a fact. Then another gopi girl comes. Says, let's not talk about Krishna anymore. If he can live without us, we can live without him. Let's start talking about somebody. Then the other girl says, yes. Who? That boy who killed Putana. No, we are talking about Krishna. Oh, you cannot talk anything but Krishna. Then they all say, we are doomed. Because we cannot think, we cannot do anything beside Krishna. He stole our heart. Then they went to Balaram. Will he ever give our heart back? Will he ever come back? And this dialogue Balaram is seeing back and forth, back and forth. Then Balaram became so absorbed, he wanted to help. Four ways he helped them. Because of the time being, I'll make it very short. The Balaram, he counseled them first to Krishna's gopis. Balaram never danced with Krishna's gopis. There's two sets of gopis that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur writes that danced with Balaram. One set of gopis were when Balaram in Sankachur, past times you know in Krishna book Prabhupada write very nicely, when Sankachur was stealing those gopis, the Balaram, Krishna killed him. That time some of the elderly gopi had a very side glance towards Balaram's as a hero, Suratanata. Those are one set of gopi, and Krishna noticed that. Krishna was teasing Balaram about it. And when Krishna did Rasalila, there is another set of gopi who were very young, they are baby born, infant. So they also joined in Krishna's Rasleela. None of Krishna's gopi joined. We should have that clear. But do you mean like we can become Balaram's gopi, something like that? Because Prabhupada did say that I have come to teach you how to dance so you can join in Rasleela. Prabhupada did say. And that's very fascinating. So, but that doesn't mean this concept that Balaram, no. Balaram actually dancing by bringing Krishna in his heart, and Krishna is enjoying through body of Balaram. Balaram has a pure ego. Prabhupada quote this, Ekala Ishar Krishna Arsa Bhritta Jare Jai Chena Chai Tai Chikara Nitta. Balaram always thinks, I am a servant of Krishna. He acts as an elder brother, he acts as the shoes of Krishna, altar of Krishna, everything in Vrindavan. It's Balaram. So Balaram serving in that way. So Balaram, he counseled those gopis, Krishna's gopis, in a four way. First thing he did, this is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, devotees' life, they can apply this. When you feel that you are not progressing or you are emotionally in love with Prabhupada, first love should be for Prabhupada, then to Balaram and Krishna or Radha Krishna. So then in this beautiful discussion, Balaram, first thing he did, like when something happened to your life, something you cannot handle, you can replace this, something you like the most. So Balaram imposed what they like the most, that Krishna's union. So then he telling all this pastime and with the us. He asked them, you remember what you did? I don't know. You tell me. What did Krishna do? Krishna was so kind. He held my hand, took me to the kunja, and he gave himself to me. I was so happy with him. Oh, when Balaram seeing this, he got so absorbed. Guess what happened? His color was not anymore white. It became black like Krishna. That's called Daujika Bhaiyan Krishna Kanaya. They sing in Vrindavan. So Balaram became Krishna colored. After that, he did another things, that if you have ability, if somebody is suffering for something, supply that. So he supplied, he literally invited Krishna to come in Vrindavan. And Krishna did come. And Krishna danced with each gopi in a private kunja. This was the second thing he did. Third thing he did, the Balaram, when he came, he saw those gopis' emotional madness, transcendental madness. Then Balaram told them, let's scrutinize the trouble, what is bothering us. That's also we can do. When we have something troubling, let's scrutinize what is the cause and effect, where I came to. So Balaram did. He scrutinized everything. Then he says, all right, since we found the answer, I'm going to go to Dwarka, and I'm not just like any messenger you ever seen, because all the messenger is under Krishna, but I'm elder to Krishna. I'll tell him what to do, not the messenger says, Prabhu, this is what they say, this is what they want. I'll tell him, he must do. So then he says, give me some tips. Tell me how I can, you know better how I'll remind him something. So he made them participate in this conversation. And he got all the tips and they felt, yes, he is a perfect candidate. He knows our heart now. Each of them revealed how they want, each one Krishna to come back, what they can say or do that will make Krishna to remember and he will forget everything else and run to Vrindavan. So Balaram, this way he literally made every Krishna's gopi completely happy. And after that, he saw that one set of gopi, they were not in this, fell for it because they didn't have that feeling with Krishna or they were innocent child. So then he did Rasleela 2 months where in Ramaghata, we sing sometime in the temple, Jaya, Jaya Ramaghata, Jaya Rohini Nandan, Jaya Jaya Brajavasi Jata Jan. So we sing that song, Jaya Radha, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, that in Ramaghata he did for 2 months, beautiful pastimes. And every night he would, and you know the pastimes, how he calls Jamuna Devi. I'm just, because I'm a little bit technical sometimes, my mind doesn't rest. And Mahaprabhu satisfied this. Mahaprabhu says, Siddhanta Baliya Chitta Nakara Alas. If you have some doubt in your mind, don't sleep with that doubt. And Prabhupada translated, don't be lazy. You must come to some advanced devotee to remove this doubt. Why? Your mind will be fixed at the lotus feet as soon as you remove the doubt. And if you do not, mind will not be fixed in Krishna. So Prabhupada gave a whole purport how important that we should understand this Siddhanta. When Balaram was chastising Jamuna Devi, now you know Jamuna Devi has a name Kalindi, whom Krishna married. That was not Krishna's wife. We should be very clear. The origin of Jamuna is Vishakha Devi. Just like a Rukmini is actually expansion of Chandravali. And Radharani expanded as Satyabhama. Very good. Lalita expanded as, so you can like this, you can see this, Gorgona, this Deepika has, then it makes sense why they act like this. Similarly, Visakha Devi also, another expansion is Jamuna Devi. That Jamuna Devi married to Krishna. Jamuna Devi has another expansion, two expansions. One expansion is the wife of Samudra Dev. The Samudra Dev, the ocean god, his wife also, because all Jamuna is always flowing, going where? To the ocean, to her husband. So that Jamuna, Balaram was chastising. Because she thought, that he's drunk, Jogamaya's arrangement. If somebody is drunk, you don't pay attention. And because Barani is one of the energy, made him drunk and made everybody drunk. So Jamuna Devi thought that to a drunk man, drunk man is saying, come on Jamuna, come here, we are going to have a sporting pastime on your body. And she thought, when man is drunk, you don't pay too much attention. Second point, she thought, that everybody comes to me to bathe. I don't go to them. What kind of instruction is this? So she was like contemplating. Sounds like one of us also. But we have to be careful that who we are not listening, who we are not paying attention. Then of course Balaram shows his anger and he took the plow. He wanted to split into hundreds. As soon as she felt, then she comes to this point. Oh Balaram, I do not know who you are, please forgive me, because she saw her body into 100 pieces. And that time she said, only a thing I know, that tiny expansion of you, who is Anantashesh, holding this whole universe. So how will I ever know your power? Please forgive me. And if you don't give me shelter, where else can I take shelter? You are the only shelter. I have no other shelter, please forgive me. And then Balaram forgave her. And this is how Balaram, for 2 months, every day he would dance and have a Raslila and have a Jal Keli on this Jamuna. Balaram ji ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shyamananda Prabhu ki jai, Bhaktivedanta Thakur ki jai, Krishna Vasanta Lila ki jai, Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Bancha Kalpataresh.